Well, the holidays are upon us, and we're all getting ready for Thanksgiving. And while some people are out shopping for the perfect cranberries or deciding whether to bake or fry the turkey, many people are dreading the festivities because of those expectations, the chaos, the awkward moments. So we've invited sociologist and author Bertice Berry to give us some advice on how to make what can be an unhappy holiday a little happier, or at least bearable. And she joins us from member station WSVH in Savannah, Georgia. Welcome to Tell Me More.
Thank you, Cheryl. How are you?
I am quite well. So,
Bertice. Well, you haven't had Thanksgiving yet.
It's coming. It's coming. I know. You're going to help me get through it. So tell me about your Thanksgiving. What do you have planned?
Well, last year, I had 100 folks over, band on the porch. Another 100 joined us from the neighborhood dancing on the lawn.
Oh, my.
The 3 police cars showed up. We offered them pie and asked them if we were too loud. They said, no, we just came to listen. So it was a great time, and everyone decided that my house was the Thanksgiving house forever.
I can imagine.
Yeah, no, this year I'm taking my kids to Red Mountain Spa in Utah.
No 200 people at your place.
No.
But tell me, what about all those people who were expecting you to host? How do you deal with that?
I don't care. I just don't care. I think there's a point where we have to realize that we can choose to do what we need to do with the time off that we have. Everybody works hard. And those of us who work hard and with an intention and a purpose have to find a way to make sure that our downtime is what we need it to be.
All right. So you're going to celebrate in quite a different way. All right.
I'll be hiking and massaging and hiking again.
Ah. Well, for those of us who have decided to take the Thanksgiving plunge and deal with those people, let's talk about some of the situations that can be a little tricky. One of the big ones, bringing your significant other home for the holidays. So how do you make this go smoothly?
First of all, that shouldn't be the first time your family meets them. You got to work that in, because you know your family's crazy. And you know, there's so much expectation for Thanksgiving anyway. And then you add the booze, the turkey, the stuffing, starches and sugar. Mm-hmm. And everybody's going to be a little bit off their game. And so to introduce someone new into all of your old drama is difficult anyway. Work them in to different family members at different times so that at least they're familiar, they're comfortable, and it's not so unbearable for the person that you want to spend time with outside of your family.
Mm-hmm. So if they're new, this is the first time, don't go to Thanksgiving.
Not in my house. I mean.
Well, you talked about booze. So that's another touchy situation. What about that relative that everybody knows gets drunk?
Well, we have to recognize that they get drunk, but they're also a genius. You know, because everybody's got a relative who's a drunk and a genius. Mm. And the drunker they get, the smarter they become. You know, Imhotep was the first one who, hold on a second. So we all have that relative, and everybody's got their roles, but sometimes our expectations force them into those roles, or that's the role they play because that's who they are. Mm. And you know that, and it's scripted, and it's a part of the game. You either have to remove your insecurities and ego, or, you know, just get ready to be embarrassed again.
Mm. All right. Well, one of our producers is here in the studio with me, AC Valdez, and he's worried about one of his relatives for an entirely different reason. So, AC, tell Bertice what's on your mind.
Hi, Bertice.
Hi.
So I have kind of this awkward situation where I've kind of avoided bringing certain friends over to family gatherings before because I don't really want them to meet this certain much older relative who happens to not like black people. Mm-hmm. And this is a huge source of embarrassment.
Yeah, those are difficult situations. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in our family, we've also had those situations. And I think it's something that really has to come out of behind closed doors, that we all, whether you're black, white, Asian, Jewish, somebody in your family is going to say the wrong thing, the racist thing, the prejudice thing, the homophobic thing. You know you have them. We have to be comfortable enough with ourselves. If we decide this is who we are and this is what we believe, and those relatives totally offend us, why are we still inviting them? Why are they still a part of things? Yeah, I know we love them, but if we really have evolved and we really say, I am against this, Why do we allow the discrimination in our households?
And if it's that relative's house, then do you just not go?
You don't go. I mean, we have to take a stand. There's a wonderful saying that says, fear not your enemies. The worst they can do is kill you. Fear not your friends. The worst they can do is betray you. Fear those who do nothing, because murder and betrayal exist out of our silent consent. And I think to a great extent, it's the silent consent in this nation that has allowed these things to continue. It's those of us who just, well, that's how he is, and mm-hmm. that's what it is, and that's not what I believe, it's what they believe. At some point, you have to take that very polite stance of saying, but I don't, and I don't want to deal with it any longer.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Well, Bertice, I want to talk to you now not about people who complain about other people, but about the folks who may come to the home and eat the food and then complain about the food.
Yeah.
What do you do about them?
I think it was Jesus who said, the rude we will have with us always. You know, worse for me, it's not the complainer about the food. It's the person who will eat your turkey and say, you know who makes a good turkey, while they're eating your turkey. It's like, you know, you don't talk about an old boyfriend with the new boyfriend present. There are some people who do that. But what I do is I remove the insecurity buttons, because usually the people who know how to push them are the ones who put them there in the first place. Mm. They know those areas that bother you. They know those areas that are very touchy to you. And so you remove those buttons and they will push them and push them. And when they no longer get the reaction that they're hoping, that allows them to very passive aggressively sit in the corner and go, you see, every time we come, there's always drama over here.
Yeah.
But they're the ones who created, and that they throw the rocks and hide their hands. What I find that works the best is to say nothing. And then everyone sees how crazy they are, and they don't get to see me acting like the mad black woman.
Well, one last question, because, you know, after the big meal, there's mm-hmm. always the cleanup. And
yes.
a lot of people disappear. You expect that, or how do you deal with that?
Pay children. but, you know, I actually, that's when my kids, I've got 5 adopted kids, and they really are my blessing in disguise, and one day they'll take the costumes off. But that's when the children who are around, I say, this party is worth this much money. And you've never seen children start to work harder in their lives.
Oh.
And then if adults are working, they'll say, please put that down. You're taking money out of my mouth. You know, so you either pay children or pay someone, because it takes the frustration away. I save for that.
So a way to beef up the allowance.
No, my children are allowed to live with me. That is the allowance.
Sociologist and author Bertice Berry. Her most recent book is The Art of Wellness, Spirit, Mind, and Body. She joined us from Savannah, Georgia. She'll be spending this Thanksgiving with her children at a spa. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
As you're getting ready for that big family meal, we hope it's also an opportunity to reflect on what you're grateful for, and we'd like to hear about it. So take a moment amidst all that chopping and stuffing and mashing to tell us what you will be giving thanks for next Thursday. And if you've ever had a unique Thanksgiving, something unforgettable, we'd love to hear about that too. To share your attitudes of gratitude with us, go to our blog at npr.org/tellmemore. You can also call our comment line at 202-842-3522.